Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this program is for Sunday, November the 8th, 2015. My gosh. It just rolls, doesn't it? I thought yesterday was February. Anyway, I'm very grateful you chose to be with me for this program. I want to remind you that this radio program, and the reason you're hearing it, is due to the loving support of our donors, people who have become sponsors of Aspire and make their quarterly or monthly contributions. So you can hear this program, so you can enjoy the TV programs, etc., etc. So we're in our fall drive, our winter drive to raise money. We have a very kind man who is our mystery donor. That's what he likes to be called. And he will match any donation you give for year end between now and I believe it's January 5th or 6th. And if you become a sponsor, which I hope you do, that will really help us out. Your donation for being a sponsor will be matched as well. So I hope you will give consideration to all of this and join us. And if you wish to become a sponsor, you can see how to do so on this webpage. Just look under support and make your donation, and he will match it. All donations, of course, are tax deductible. You will receive the message of the month each and every month for you to listen to. It's something very special that I make for my donors. And when we make our new programs that will be airing next year, I'll be filming them in January on the Beatitudes. You will receive a whole beautiful set of the Beatitudes that I have made that go into great detail about the beauty of these teachings. So become a help to us. Become a sponsor. We need your loving support. And you're listening to these radio programs and benefiting from them. And I think it would be lovely if you kept it going. Pass it forward, as it were. Well, our topic is money, love, and deserving. And I've got a slew of emails from people who listened to the radio program I did a few weeks ago, and I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, on money and sex. So here we are with some reactions, and I got more, but I only chose these three for today. And I'll choose more later on in the future. First one comes from Robin. She says she lives in Los Angeles. In your recent radio program, you talk about money, love, and sex. Keep it simple for me because I'm a simpleton. In a nutshell, what is love, money, and sex? Robin. For the most part, Robin, we don't have any cognition of the meaning of our life. All we are looking to do is get through it and try to have as much fun, as many pleasures as we possibly can in order to sustain our emotionality. And that's basically all it's about for most of us. We are just living to have what we want, to get what we want, to be pleasured. So when it comes to love and money and sex, these are pleasures. And we think that because we are human, and we think because we have organs, and because there is such a capacity to make money and have lots of it, and what money can give us, which is luxury and convenience and fun, we think that that's what our life is all about. I want you to just kind of think about this for a moment. What we call love in the human vernacular, in the human form, is nothing but a pleasure trip. Everything is about a certain form of getting pleasured. And if we get this pleasure and we are being pleasured and we have lots of money to be pleasured by, and we have someone or some people, depending on who you are and what your lifestyle is all about, that pleasures us sexually, then we think we are living life to its fullest. And what we don't really know, and what we don't want to accept, and what we cannot really accept, but is factual, is every time we do all of this, we diminish more and more and more and more our capacity for intuition, our capacity for faith, our capacity to let love live us. Now, nobody wants to talk about this, and this is not the kind of stuff that raises money for sponsorship and all of that. So I know what I'm doing here, and I know this turns you off. But we do not live in the middle ground. We live obsessively. And if you have not noticed, everything is about extreme. In our culture, in our society, everything is about extreme this, extreme that. Extreme when it comes to sports, extreme when it comes to television programs, to violence, go on the internet and get as much extreme sex as you want. You can cheat, lie, and steal and make tons of money. Greed is now considered to be a normal thing. It's considered to be admirable, that the more greedy you are and the more wealth you have, the more you can distance yourself from those who would tell you that this isn't the best or healthiest thing to do. It goes on and on and on. And it just makes our life very difficult. But we don't realize that when we're in the midst of it. You know, in my meditation class, Robin, I'm having my students go throughout their entire lifetime. Every week we choose 3 to 5 year periods in our lives, and we write down in a collage, we put pictures there and make a collage out of it, what we were doing in those years. And my students now are in their mid to late 50s, some of them in their early 60s, some in their mid 60s on up. And they're looking back at their life. They're looking back at it and they're seeing, oh my God, look what I did here. Look what I did there. Money, sex are two of the important things, and drugs and alcohol, because, you know, I came from the 60s generation and so did they. So they did the drug thing, not something that ever appealed to me, but they did the drug and sex thing and all of that, which was, you know, free love and that kit and caboodle. And they're looking back and they see the damage it did to them now, and that they're reaping the karma of what they did then now. They get it. And one student, I will never forget, looked at me in a class and said, you know, it's funny, I look at all of this and it looks absolutely ridiculous. And yet in the day, it looked absolutely normal. You couldn't have talked me out of it. This was what seemed normal. This is what seemed appropriate. This is what seemed right. And none of them ever thought that they were going to have to pay for it one way or the other through all sorts of things, like their inability to concentrate, to focus, to meditate, to even understand simple English at times. I lose them very quickly when I'm talking about anything that has anything to do with the meaning of their life. They constantly lose it there. So, you know, what can I say to you? What could I say to you that would mean anything to you at this point in your life? Everything we do, our obsession with compulsion, our obsession with the congregating of our emotions within ourselves that formulate different sets of personality traits and even personalities, creates our misery and our mischief. And we're up to our mischief at all times. Love, money, and sex. These are the three things that most people live for. The love is personal, emotional. Money buys comfort, security, supposed, and sex. It's a playground. And then we have maybe someone to love us, somebody who cares about us. And we make it a playground until it can no longer be a playground anymore. And then we turn around and instead of looking for something more profound, maybe a little more authentic, we just go back to love, money, and sex. Love, money, and sex. Some people think they're just too smart to go after awakening, spiritual awakening. And other people know they're not capable of it because they don't have the inwardness, the ability to discipline themselves, to do the practice, to meditate, to be conscious, to be kind, to be merciful. They don't have that. They think in terms of what is deserved and what is deserving and what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad, all under the precepts of concepts that are sociological, not spiritual. You listen to the Beatitudes of Jesus that I'm going to be teaching here very soon, and I'm sure you're going to look at it and go, what the heck was he talking about? And if you listen to Buddha and Jesus and Lao Tzu, really listen to them and the teachings that they offered that most ministers and priests will never talk about because they're out of the box. They're way too hard for the average pedestrian mentality to deal with. What do? They don't talk about it. And when someone might bring it up from here or there, they just scold them for bringing it out. A spiritual life, a spiritual practice is a huge thing. So there it is in a nutshell. We use love, money, and sex as a way to avoid our karma, to avoid the situation for what it really is, our karmic situation. And that's where the problem lies. What can I say to you? It's in your hands. It's your life. Robin, thank you for listening to me. And on a side note, thank you for your kind comments. Please forgive me. Namaste. We are an extreme culture. We go way too far. And it's all in an effort to draw attention to ourselves, to make tons of money, and then to sneak out and think, I have now enough to eat, drink, and be merry. But as Jesus taught in that beautiful, beautiful parable, what do you do when one night in your life, one dark night, your soul is required of you? We live soullessly. Next one comes from John. Do you not believe in deserving, that everyone earns what it is they have, in order to achieve some sense of righteousness in what we get? John, when a marketer is trying to hook you into something, to buying something. I was listening to ESPN the other day on my way to the post office. And they had this commercial, and they have it on all the time. And it's about going to Vegas, like I'd want to go to Vegas. And you've earned it. And because you've earned it, this is what you get to go do. And we'll make it cheap for you so you can go there and feel like you earned it. You've worked hard, they say, and all that. Earning? No. I do not feel that in life anyone earns anything. As Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Okay? Now, a Buddha bites into an apple, and Greg Penn bites into an apple. Buddha will taste it. He will feel the beauty of it. He will know how the apple gave its life for my life. He will understand the farmer and how hard he worked and where the seed came from and how it took form. He will take in the whole thing. Whereas Greg Penn will just bite into the apple, you know, and hope that it tastes good. That is the difference. Do I deserve the apple? That's not the point. The point is, do I taste the apple? Can I taste where it came from and all the components that made up that apple? It goes far beyond taste and pleasure and benefits for the body. No, I don't do the deserve thing. People get what they get for their karma. Now listen to me. I know some people who you would think are very lucky. They have lots of money, have lots of family, they have lots of friends, blah, 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 blah. Everything a person would want. But they're miserable, depressed, and always on the go because they're running from themselves. And these things that they have mean nothing. Because these things are just forms of escape. And then after a while, they wear out. And eventually, we have to meet our maker, which is ourselves. How we made our life, how we've lived our life, how we have lived in our life. You don't earn in this life. It isn't a matter of earning. It's a matter of living. And how you live into any given situation in your life, you live into this, you live into that, is based on how you and I propagate our emotional nature, how we congregate them, and then choose to live out of that personality and those traits. It's a very, very self-destructive thing. But we are free to do it. No one's going to stop you, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong. Because this is what you need to do. What I am going to tell you is there is another way. A way beyond all of this if you so choose. But it requires insight. It requires inner discipline. It requires love. It requires kindness. And what does it give you for all that work? A sense of mercy. The most valuable thing you could have. Because it is only in that mercy that you find the meaning of yourself and the liberation from your karma to live another form of karma, to accentuate karma in your life. It isn't about being punished or rewarded. Karma has nothing to do with that. That's the way Greg Penn and other people think of it in their human form. But there is more to it than that. Karma is my relationship with life. The life I can't see. The life I don't believe exists. The life that is beyond my intellectual capacity. Whether I deserve it or not, or my intellectual capacity, or all of that stuff, doesn't matter, because no matter what, I'm subject to it. And if I'm subject to it, that's the way it's going to be. You and I are subject to karma. Whether you like it or not, it is there. It is in action at all times in our life. When we recognize karma and what it is and how it works and its importance, that is when we start to move into a very powerful and liberating direction where things can actually change. No, it isn't a matter of deserving. You see, John, if it were a matter of deserving, that means that whatever I did, if I was kind to you, if I was generous to you, you'd have to deserve it. You'd have to have some form of being deserving. And what could you possibly do that would be so deserving to make me forgive you, give to you, share with you, love you, forgive you? Really forgive you. There is nothing in this world, because that's the way our head works. It's very ugly. I say to you, give up the deserving thing. You need to recognize karma. You don't, you won't, because you think in terms of literalness, the status quo, as it were. Pedestrian mentality. I have a friend of mine. He's in my group and I love him. You can't win an argument with an absolutist, somebody who is absolute about everything. You can't talk to them. You can't help them. You can't work with them. And there are many, many people like that in this world. Many are called to this work, but very few are chosen because of their state of mind, of what they believe in, and how self-righteous they are about it. John, a word to you as a wise person. Give up everything and go for love. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. People come to me and they want to do sessions, let's say, new people, and they have these set beliefs about what is right and what is wrong and what is true and what is untrue. And if I talk to them and I find out what they believe in and I say, you know, there is no possible way for you to mature or grow with the set of beliefs that you have become accustomed to here. I don't see how we can work together when you're so set in your ways. They never question their setness, as it were. They question me and my sanity and whether or not I'm authentic or whatever. It's very interesting. It's never them. Last one comes from Claire, and I don't know where she lives either. How can we have peace on earth when everything and every one of us is undeserving? And those who are very undeserving seem to have the most power. Claire. Claire, the heaviest rock falls to the bottom of the ocean. And we are kind of bottom feeders. We still believe in money and power, and we believe in right over wrong, and that's our big deal. So in this world, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will never be any peace on this earth. Claire, you have to understand, this is not a place where peace will ever exist. It can happen a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's always going to be disturbed because most people are disturbed. They're emotionally, psychologically ill. So when you are talking about those in power as being, shall we say, undeserving or unkind, we go along with that because we are. I am only subject to what it is within myself that I am willing to be subject to. If I want to be subject to my emotionality, so be it. And with that comes politics and religion and philosophy and money and the cruelty of the earth. And that's the way it works. When I no longer wish to be a part of all of that, and I want to be subject to the love that is greater than all of that, that's when I begin my journey. Then the outer life doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you live or who you live with or any of that. That will all take care of itself. The only thing that matters is, do you persevere in your inner being, in your consciousness, in your efforts to awaken, to liberate, to allow karma to liberate you, to heal your life, to change and alter the gestalt of your inner life. Once you understand that, and you've come to accept it, then you have something very rare, something very unique. And now you can do things that are beyond the cavalier attitude that most people have of thinking they control their life and that money is the reward for being successful or whatever. Success has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with your outer. You want peace in the world? Find it within yourself. Jesus said it so beautifully. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. What he taught, how he taught peace, and what it was all about was not anything we know anything about in this world. It has nothing to do with the world. It has to do with finding love within ourselves. And should you be brave enough to go to that love, to really experience that love, beyond the confines of right and wrong, good and bad, that is when you come to a very sacred place. I can't make you go there. I can introduce you to it. I can show you the way to it. But that is all. You must do the work. You must do the inner work. It's up to you. Thank you for your beautiful email, Claire. And again, I want to thank you for your comments. They were very kind. I do work hard, and everything I do for you. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment or question or something I might be of service to you in, please come to this website at aspire.org. At the top of the page, you will see contact. Just send me an email. I would be honored. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.